All right, all right. Welcome to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed.
Welcome, welcome.
Now, we've been on this series, we've been doing a little series now about connection, and we felt it was only right that we touched upon the classic, the tried and true foundational tools that you need to understand yourself, to understand any partners, to understand any relationships that you're going into. And if you hadn't heard about the five love languages by now, where the hell you been? You must be under a rock because it's been floating around the internet for years now.
Yeah.
And who is this? A Catholic priest?
A Baptist.
Practice that with the same thing?
A Baptist pastor who has a PhD.
Where is he from?
In like some type of education or something like that.
Where is he from?
South. Lisa?
He's from the South.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I looked up in Google, it literally said like a 50-year-old Southern Baptist pastor with a doctorate in like higher education or something like that.
Shout outs to him.
Yeah.
See, he got one with this.
He figured it out.
He got one. So if you're brand new to the five love languages, welcome. And for those who have already learned about the five love languages and implement them in your life, we'll actually have a spin on it because we're going to talk about how you can implement the five love languages into your sex life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you because now it feels better. Now we started recording because I was like, we're going to talk about the five love languages again. I don't want to be another one of those.
Yeah.
But nah, I feel like we can bring our flavor to it and what we get out of it.
No, I'm excited. It's definitely something that we bring into our relationship and talk about often of just like, oh, I need more words of affirmations from you. That came up just the other day. Or needing more physical touch or less physical touch or more quality time, whatever it is, it comes up so often with just our day-to-day communication.
Yeah, like I heard about it before you, but until we got together and I had COVID to like really be sitting down taking quizzes and shit about my personality and yeah, learning and like really sinking my teeth into them, it's like, actually I kind of should know what mine are first. Let's do that. Let me know how I need to receive love from others.
Yeah.
So that I can tell you what I need. And so I could also do the same with you. But it was really eye-opening, and they actually, like, they are legit. They're definitely legit as a nice foundation.
Yeah, no, it's really important, I think, to have that understanding of yourself and also to grow with it. Like, the layout of my languages before you are completely different. And I took it in March, and it's just even different now. Like, I just took it again today just as a refresher, and it's just so slightly has shifted. But like words of affirmations, for example, was never a big thing for me before you.
Let's pull it up.
Sure.
So you're saying it was different when you took them before you met me, was
yeah,
different than
everything
March, was different than March when you took them.
Yes, which is different than now.
And then was different than today. Okay. Yeah. So it was way different before
it's completely,
March.
Completely, everything was different.
Okay, so let's go through them. So let's start with yours, because yours, yeah, we got both of yours. We got your March and today, because I was like, I don't know about these numbers here. But let's start.
And the top one is the more recent.
That's more recent.
Yeah.
So go through yours.
Okay, so for my love languages, physical touch is my highest at 32%. Quality time is 29%. Words of affirmation is 19%. Acts of service is also at 19%. And receiving gifts is 0%. Now, this is my today. And I redid it because you said that my receiving gifts being at 0% was blasphemous.
It was crazy.
So last time I took it, which was like, what, 3-4 months ago, it was physical touch was 29%. Quality time was 26%. Acts of service was the same, 26%. And words of affirmation was 19%. So my acts of service actually went down and my quality time and physical touch went up. Gifts stayed at 0. It did not budge.
I just feel like we could supplement 3% off the physical touch from the 29. Give that to gifts. Give gifts a little. I know you like gifts.
I love gifts. I love gifts in the sense of flowers, diamonds, as I said to you. But I'm not like it's her birthday, let me surprise her with something. Ask me what I want. I promise you I know exactly what I want. I'd much rather have the dollars or be taken on a shopping spree of let me just get exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to be, you got me a gift and I still want what I want.
Yeah, and I know you like what you like.
I like what
I like.
And
so I'm like, let me just bring her in on this shit. I don't want to just be out here getting shit that you don't want.
Yeah.
So I learned
I don't want that
early.
Either.
I learned very early.
Yeah.
But he's near zero. But the rest of them, though, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and words of affirmation for you, I feel like across the board, even whatever that math is, that is even all of them, all the time.
They're all, I mean, between 19 and 32, it's kind of all in the same range.
Yeah, it's definitely even. I've never probably known anybody to be so even. Like, you need all of them.
I need all of them.
If one is faltering, it's not happening. Because, like, yeah, let's think about it. We had quality time. I'm feeding you with words of affirmation, how beautiful you are, how great you've been doing in your life, just winning. But I'm not touching you while I do it? What?
Are we
that's a major
issue.
It's
a major issue.
That's actually a major issue. Then on the flip side, if I'm touching all on you and we spending quality time, but I ain't saying shit. What's going on here? Are we good or not? You won't compute.
I won't compute.
So it's actually really good to know how important these are.
Yeah.
Down to the number, you know? For me, I feel like I'm a little easier. It's interesting. Acts of service went up quite a bit.
It did.
From when we first were together. I don't have mine from before. But acts of service, for a multitude of reasons, has gone up for me. I think, number one, just in how much I work and how much I put out. My output is high.
Yeah.
So I need to receive a lot of input in terms of just helping facilitate things.
Yeah.
Like, I could give a fuck less about a gift. I could buy my own shit. I got gifts don't really do anything. Just a gift. Oh, let me buy you some sneakers. It's just an empty gift. Like, to be nice. That's cool. I could just go get me some kicks. It's not that. But like, something thought out. Like, when you found that book. So I had this book, The Pursuit of Happiness. Actually, nephew. You might as well shout that book out real quick, because it's a good story. Can you grab that book for me?
It's the top one.
This is book. I love this book. It's called The Secret of Happiness. It's all in the mind. Check this out. I don't know if you can see it in there, but just go find this book if you can. Well, shit, we had a trouble finding this book.
Yeah, I don't know why you're telling me that.
I don't know why I'm telling you to find this book. So this is a book I grew up with. It really helped me learn about manifestation and just the power of my mind, for real. And it's not a popular book. It's just by a small author that you just wouldn't know about. And I gave this book out to some girl I was talking to back when I was 20 years old, trying to improve her life. She fucking lost my shit. We wasn't together no more. But this is such a profound book, like a Bible to me. And I couldn't find it for years. For years, I was trying to find it. And I couldn't. I gave up. And I told her about this book. I'm like, damn, this book, I wish I could put you on. It's so great. Yada, yada. But I couldn't find it. And then one random Wednesday, I called her house. I don't know what. Why? I don't even know why you gave me this to me. But I come there, she has a little bag. I guess so.
Because I love you.
Random ass day. It was not my birthday. It was a Father's Day. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't nothing like that. Just random package. And for some reason, I felt like it was a book. And then I opened it up. But I was not expecting this. And it's just the pure shock that this thing was physically in my presence again after thinking it was all gone. I was at a loss for words. That was probably the most meaningful thing anybody's ever done. Because you had to scour the earth for this goddamn book.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy find.
And I remember we weren't even the best that week or like that month. Dealing with a little turbulence. And this just made it all right, like deeply though. It wasn't a gift. Yeah. It was like, fuck, she really loves the shit out of me that she would scour the world wide web. You have to go into the whole world wide web to find this damn book and get this for me. And it was such a meaningful thing. I don't know if anything will ever replace it. So.
Set the bar high.
You did set the bar high. So I appreciate that. See, if it wasn't gifts like that, I ain't want it. But yes. These are the love languages, and this is why it's so important. And it's cool to be able to incorporate it into your actual conversation and just the way you go about things.
Yeah.
It's really good. So thank you for making us talk about this today.
No, absolutely. I'm glad. Yeah, I think that just growing up for me with gifts, it's always been, like, I used to make my mom, like, these extravagant, like, Mother's Day cards. Mm-hmm. And, like, I used to, like, go out of my way, and I would, like, look at the calendar, and we always had, like, those little paper calendars in our rooms. And I would, like, 7 days out, start planning out, like, what card I'm gonna make and what crafts I'm gonna use to make it. So sentimental gifts has always been, like, really big for me, like, in the meaning of it. But not so much of, I'm just going to buy you a necklace because it's that time of year. Like, I worked in jewelry for like 6 years and I saw so many people buy just like these heart necklaces because it's Valentine's Day. It's just like, this is so cheesy. And it's just like, for some, absolutely, it means so much. And for me, it doesn't. I'd much rather something like a book that you really leaned on for so much, just foundation of who you are, and you've lost that book, like that type of gift. Yes. If it's not that, I don't want it either. Right. I don't really need that part.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But to go back to touch on my acts of service, because I thought that was very interesting how much has grown and like how I need that. Because like, I'd much rather you take care of something that needs to be done in the house, or just regular stuff like that, than for us to be going on vacation, like not vacation, because you know I need that, but like just anything extravagant, definitely over the gifts. I don't care. Don't say I did great today. I don't care. Just show me. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that shit. I'm a great man. Thank you. And clean my shit. Honestly, I'd much rather you help me take care of this pile of clothes right now.
Yeah.
That's how you show me that I'm a great man today. You know what I mean? So I just be real with that. I know I need that. Especially with our dynamic and like servitude, like and embracing that and not feeling bad that I like to be served. Because it's not in a way that diminishes you. It's a way that uplifts you and helps you fulfill your purpose within our relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a way to embrace these things. I think sometimes servitude can get lost on something kind of demeaning. But nah, it's not that for me at all.
No, I think same. I think acts of service has also grown with me within this relationship. But in a very different way, but still with our within our dynamic of just kind of wanting to be taken care of and feeling protected of just like, okay, like we know that this thing has to get done and maybe it's something that's stressing me out and you just take care of it for me or you do it with me. That is really meaningful for me of just like, oh, okay, I can depend on you to help me with these stressors in life, like that type of act of service. Or I've washed your billionth dish this day and you wash one, that one dish, it goes along with specifically the Vitamix, it goes a long way. It goes a long way of just you're paying attention to what I'm actually saying and what I'm asking of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Along with acts of service, I realize quality time has been getting up there for me, and it's been helping us a lot too. Just when like our us really reconnecting with each other, like, all right, where do we start? And realizing like one of our foundational things that we always love to do is really get into our shows, but like really get into our shows. Like we get into our shows, we talking all kind of shit. We're nitpicking everything, you know, like how we get into them now and how we enjoy shows like our way. I really appreciate just something as simple as that.
Now, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's real. Quality time is so, it makes me just feel like that's so cheesy, but like I'm the only girl in the world with you. Just this, that's just us together for no matter what.
Yeah.
And it just makes me feel stronger. I always walk away feeling like nourished for the week ahead.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually thinking about it today because I'm like, damn, I think she sucked me into quality time loving shit. Because I noticed from the time that we woke up, we were in the room together, that we kind of migrated out to the living room and I was doing a little work, kind of floated around, then somehow we migrated into the bathroom and just all this time we just had, like, it's still, we just woke up, why the fuck are we by each other so much? But I didn't want to be away. I was fine. I'm like, this is kind of a lot, but it's fine. I'm enjoying her company. But yeah, it was just migrating around the house together. That's the quality time right there.
Yeah.
And how you make me do that.
So I make you do that.
You make me do that.
I force it with a gun to your head.
It was not me.
Oh, okay.
The physical touch, on the other hand.
Yeah, it's third on yours. I'm surprised that's lower than quality time.
I'm not a big physical toucher, honestly.
I think I'm such a big physical toucher. I assume you are too.
No, not at all. I had trouble with that.
With me?
No. Earlier in life, I didn't know how to, like, I wasn't a hand holder or like put my arm around you. Like when I was young, like sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I didn't know how to do that shit. Oh, I'll be out with girls having a good old time, not touching nothing. having a good day. What do you mean? She's not feeling loved. She's feeling mad, neglected, like fucking damn near in tears. He doesn't like me. I'm like, we good. We good. We had a good time today. What you mean? Then I realized, dude, you gotta fucking touch her a little bit. Can't she get an arm? A hand?
Yeah.
A backstroke? So I've gotten better. But honestly, that comes from my parents. I never seen them. Never. It was not. It was so foreign. Mm. Like them hug. Not even a hug. Why are you hugging? Why are you hugging? Chilling on the couch, cuddled up together. Never. I might have seen it twice in my life.
Oh, wow.
It's weird each time.
I didn't know that.
Weird every time.
I had the exact opposite with my parents.
You saw them kissing and everything?
Saw them kiss. My dad worked in New York, and we lived in the Poconos. So, like, him coming home, it was just, like, my mom cooked every night, like, cooks a whole feast. And, like, he would come home, and there's, like, the ceremonial, like, my sister and I run to him, jump in his arms, hug him. Then he puts his down. My mom, like, slow walks from the kitchen. And, like, they embrace into this, like, sexy hug kiss thing. And we just witnessed it, like, Mommy and Abby.
This is a daily occurrence in your house.
Daily, oh, every wow. night.
Wow.
Yes, and just like hugging and kissing and loving on like each other and my siblings and my parents. It's just physical touch is always like nephew. You see how he's all over me all the time. Like,
oh, this is a Raheem
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
it's all a y'all. Thing. Just,
yeah, we just hug and we kiss on the. We always do both sides of the cheek.
My mother had to pry hugs out of me when I was a kid. I just didn't see it. I didn't want to. And then they force you to hug your aunts and uncles. And I'm like, hug y'all. I was not. We did not hug like that in my family. You see how Jazz is now. Giving you shoulders.
You might be grateful if he looks at you.
But I didn't see a kiss.
Yeah.
Let me rack my brain real quick. A kiss? Other than a peck on the lips, cause of whatever, like a kiss, like I love you. Give me those lips. Let me make out with my woman. Never.
It got out of hand with my parents. We're like, okay, get a room.
But I think that's cool to kind of think about and like what, like how do we grow up, like what shapes our desires and our love languages comes from that, and what we naturally start as our default thinking other people are good with that might not be good. And I can see how that could be an issue when making connections with people when you just have two completely different experiences. You need to have this conversation, you need to take the test so you can get that foundation. Oh, I like these things, and be able to put a name to it.
Yeah, because even from the jump, like first date, 10 minutes in, I was hugging you.
And I liked it. And I felt good. Yeah, that was different for me, though. That took me a little minute.
It was different for me, too. But it also just felt natural, I think, because just physical touch always came naturally in that way.
Right.
Yeah.
So now let's actually define what the five love languages are.
Yeah. So the first one, physical touch, is exactly what it sounds like. It's touching your partner in physical ways that... How do you touch non-physical? What is non-physical touch?
I'll be touching you.
Okay.
Spiritual touch. Spiritual touch.
But yes, it's exactly what it sounds like. And the way that you can communicate that with your partner is with small touches throughout the day, just like a small caress on the arm, just saying like, hey, I'm here, a kiss, a slapping of the ass.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would open it up to whatever the hell works for you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? How do you like to be touched? If that's high on your priority list of the languages, because we all have, I think, a main one or two, usually, unless you're her and they're just all even. But typically, there's one or two that stands out like that are your main ones. So if physical touch is your main one, like, how do you like to be touched? Where on your body? Because some, I like my head rubbed, you know, somebody else got hair. They might not want their head rubbed. So just figuring out like what specifically makes you feel good, no matter where it is, don't limit yourself for any reason.
Yeah, but just learning how to use your body length, your body, and communicating that with your partner. I think it's really important, and it really just is a way to be present. And how you can act with that is with long hugs, kisses, massages are a great way to express physical touch, holding hands, regular sex, booty slaps, all of it.
Let's talk about our physical touch moving forward, since we're on physical touch.
Okay.
Because you like to fucking touch. I counted in my head. And I was like, when? It's like a timer. I know now. I don't think you can go past 15 minutes without touching me in some kind of way. 15 minutes is crazy. Like, that's long. And I'm not used to that. I used to be by myself. I'm not the most touchy-feely, but I love your touches. They do annoy me. But because I know...
15 minutes?
Every 15 minutes you're touching me. I promise you. I promise you. Every 15 minutes or less.
I believe it.
Yes. It's really around the 7 to 8 minute range, depending on what we're doing.
Oh, 15 minutes is just that's being
your
kind.
Max. Yeah, 15 minutes is your max.
Oh.
So it was an adjustment, and it does still annoy me at times.
But
I have learned to embrace it because I look at you and you're so excited and you just want to be loved and touched and you want to just touch me and feel good together because you love me so much. How am I going to be bad about that?
I want to touch you now.
See? Come on. Come on. Rub my head.
Rub your head.
There we go. And I'm learning to get better with it. And I do know there are certain times of the day I might got shit going on.
Yeah.
I might have to tell you to chill out.
And
I'm going to need you to just love it.
Yeah.
And know that I'm not rejecting you.
Yeah. And I think we had a conversation about it because it was feeling like rejection in some way. Not because you were doing it aggressively, but I guess it just really is how I receive and also communicate love.
Right.
So, yeah, it's also an adjustment for me kind of adjusting to someone who doesn't have physical touch. Because I really was out here thinking that yours was just as high as mine, but you were just tolerating my ass.
I was just loving you. Just loving you. It's third on my list. Right in the middle. Can do or do without. It's all good. I'm good.
Wow. Okay. I'll skip on to the quality time.
So quality time is next?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So quality time. One-on-one time. Putting your phone down. Making sure that your partner knows that you're there. That you're their priority. Priority. That's the number one word that comes to mind for me. Because for my quality time, I don't need a lot of it, but I need it to be quality. I don't like when you're on your phone, even for a second. What's going on? Like, or when we're watching a show and you're simultaneously swiping, how the fuck are you watching a show with me right now? Even if we're not talking or nothing, I just need you here with me. If I'm doing this, you doing this, we doing this. It's a commitment. Because it's like... It's splitting of your energy.
Yeah. Last night, we were supposed to record, but our neighbor was living in Brooklyn, so they're blasting this music. And I'm listening to this really nice erotic audiobook that is just phenomenal. And I'm almost done. So I was going to listen to it. And we're just laying in the bed. It sounds like the music is blasting in our bedroom. And he's like, are you cheating and listening to your book? I'm like, what? He's like, are you not suffering with me?
I wanted to listen to the Knicks.
That's not how you phrased it.
I'm just saying, I would have loved to listen to I put that to the side to spend this quality, awkward time in this bed with this blasting reggae shit.
We could have easily just listened to our own devices together. But you're like, no. Instead,
it felt better that way in the moment. Thank you.
It did. It did. And we did.
And we did.
We just listened and then you fell asleep. And then you woke up and asked if I started cheating and listening to my book, which I did not. But no, quality time is exactly that. It's about quality. It's the richness in the time that you're spending with one another. It's not just you're here and I'm here, but we're all on our phone and you walk away just kind of feeling like I could have done this alone.
Right.
It's about just connecting, whether it's connecting through a show or connecting with communication or playing a game. It's quality.
Sometimes quality time is sacrifice, because I'm sure there's been quality time that you've spent with me and you didn't care to be doing this, but you knew that I would like you to have you there. And so it was quality for you. And so also making sure that with your quality time, that it really is uninterrupted. I think now with so many distractions, there's so much that you can be stimulating yourself with and you don't realize how much you're doing that with and taking away your time with your partner.
Yeah.
Back in the old cave days when we didn't have cell phones, like you actually had to be just present with somebody in the room and it felt different. So like really, if put your phone on the other side. If you're on those, just put them down, you know, and go to a park or something.
Yeah.
Go to a park, sit outside, look at the sun go down, ride your bike.
Or just talk.
Go for a walk down the street, hold hands. Bring it back to the simple things sometimes too.
Yeah. You know? And I realized that with myself, even like you mentioned, like me scrolling while watching TV. I always do that. And I started paying attention to it more, like when I'm by myself. And I'll scroll and just multiple episodes will go by and I have no idea what's going on because I'm not paying attention. So now I've been more intentional about like, okay, if I'm going to watch a show that I'm like interested in, I'm going to actually watch it. I'm not going to be on my phone. And just really paying attention to like, how do I spend quality time with myself? Am I just letting time go by or is it actually of quality?
Right. Quality. Now we got acts of service.
Yeah, acts of service is offering, is all about serving your partner and how can I help make your life easier? How can I support you in whatever that you're doing? How can I just do this so that I can express to you I love you through folding laundry, as you stated, or getting your favorite drink, whatever it is, or making your favorite meal? Just those acts of service, it really goes a long way. And I think just showing people that you pay attention and care of what makes them feel good.
Yeah, I would add to that, providing for someone's needs, whatever they may be, in a very just giving way, because that's just what they need. You're not looking for anything in return. It's just, oh, this is what this person needs, so that's what we're going to do. Because I'm thinking in both, I never thought about how much I serve you, because that phrasing is different for us. You know, and like the impact of the word serve and how how much heavier it can be. But it is a service to you. Like, I'm your protector. I'm your fucking secret service out here in these streets every day. So I'm serving it in that way. And I'm serving just to make sure that your needs are met. And I'm serving you in just that overall, you're good in life. When you with me, you good. Yeah. You know, like that is my ongoing daily service to you. So it looks different for everybody, but I think overall, it's just putting out that effort and without wanting something in return.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And a way that you can communicate that is, again, offering to help, doing something for your partner without them having to ask. I think that's a big one.
Right. That's definitely how I like to be served. I like to tell you things, but it's so much better. It just turns me on so much more when you thought about it before I even know I want it.
Yeah.
Or before I have to ask. I love that.
I know you do. It keeps me on my toes and paying attention. But the way that you can act with that is pay attention to the little things and be proactive in taking care of your partner's needs and taking things off of their plate.
Right. Yeah. And then we have words of affirmation. So compliments, encouragement throughout the day to remind them that they're loved. Or just whatever feels good, whatever words feel affirming to that person. Because as much as it can be, I love you, you're doing so good, you got this, you're beautiful. It could also be, you were a good little whore last night. You know what I'm saying? These make you feel good and make you feel like, yeah, I want to be a good little whore tomorrow in bed too, you know? Yeah. I like to know when, you know.
I know. I definitely know.
So... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's from that side of the spectrum. It could also be, thanks for cleaning. Yeah. Or I see you cleaned up.
Right.
Or just, it's not necessarily an affirmation. I think people hear that and think it's just praise, but sometimes it's just acknowledgement as well.
Right.
Or like, just acknowledging like, yeah, you were a good little whore last night. Just bringing that up the next day when we're not even talking about or recapping. It's just like acknowledging like, yeah, that definitely happened and you did a good job and I see you.
Right. And like the other day we had a little disagreement because I just didn't realize how much you needed that in our work.
Yeah.
So I thought the level I was doing it was sufficient, but it wasn't. And I didn't realize when you were communicating it to me, how intense it was for you. Because, hey, I guess we should have had a conversation about that so we couldn't have avoided that. But it's good. You know, it came up how it needed to come up. But it was very clear and you were able to articulate like, yo, I actually really need this from you. It makes me feel validated and loved and seen by you. You just letting me know that I did a good job on this small thing or just thank you, you know. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you for receiving it. Yeah, it really means a lot.
Absolutely. And then good old gifts.
Good old gifts. Gifts can make your partner feel like you pay attention. Like you know me enough to get me this thing that is so me. And it's like, don't get me wrong. If you bought me something, it's just like, this is so me. Like, you got me to a T. Amazing. This is an amazing feeling to give somebody. And I don't think that it should be... I just feel like gifts should not feel obligatory.
Right.
Like, don't get me something just because it's my birthday. Get me something because it's my birthday and you thought about me and you thought, I really want to express that I care about you. And I knew that this thing would represent that fully.
Right.
Or I knew sending you to the spa would ease you because you said that you've had a long day at work. Whatever it is, it's just like, let it be meaningful, not just, oh, well, it's Valentine's Day, so here's your obligatory flowers.
Some people like that, though. It's like, yo, it's the day. You got them flowers or what, bro? It's like that.
People do like that.
So, you know, whatever floats your boat, because some people like empty gifts. I want you to, the acting, the spending the money, you're willing to put this dollar amount on your love for me and just show it in this way. That does it for them in some kind of way. Yeah, just don't have to do it for me. But
yeah, just the thought of you bringing me a teddy bear on Valentine's, like a giant teddy bear. My first thought, where am I putting this?
I will never.
Where what am I supposed to do with this? I don't have a basement to store this in. And now I just have to throw it down. That's awkward. Now it's awkward for both. You're going to come over. You're going to look around. Now I can see this big ass teddy bear.
Right.
Anywhere to be found.
But for the most part, I would encourage people to try to make your gifts meaningful so that the person sees that they're thought out, that you care about them. At least if you're going to just buy some extravagant shit for the sake of buying a gift, you want to try to buy something you know they're going to like.
Yeah.
Because I definitely know, especially when it comes to men, I know we can have a tendency to be trying to keep up with the rappers and all that and just be, you know, fly your joint out and make sure that she got some gift wrap shit from the limo driver at the airport. Just some random shit. And we out here going ass backwards trying to convey our, you know, love and affection for you when probably she just did some quality times, but she really wanted, bro. She wanted that quality time.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just caution that with the gifts. But gifts are always great. I love a good gift.
Yeah. And to purchase a gift or create a gift as well. I think people don't think about that. Like,
create a gift.
Make something.
Yeah.
Like, make something, make a meal. Like, I don't know. I just feel like people are just in today's society, it's so materialistic that it takes away from what it really should be about. And it's making your partner feel good.
Right.
I feel like some people give gifts to make themselves feel good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of ego gift giving.
Yeah. But again, we sound very biased because we are.
You know, gifts. So now, let's get into the sexy love languages. It's time for sexy love languages.
Sexy love languages.
How can we apply these love languages to our sexy times? Because, yeah, it's all encompassing.
It's all encompassing.
And you could be very strategic about how you do your thing because a lot of people just be kind of doing some sex. Just, you know, it's time to do some sex. Let's do some sex. And if you don't have these extra tools at your disposal, number one, for your own pleasure, like, again, to know what you like and how you like to receive pleasure, you can't tell your partner what you like. Mm-hmm. But you damn sure ain't going to be able to give them what they want in its entirety.
Yeah.
So these, I like what we're about to do. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So with physical touch, it sounds redundant because when you're having sex, you're physically touching someone, but it goes deeper than that. It's about layering on different types of touch. So it could be exploring uncommon places, caressing the back of the knees, nibbling the back of the neck, nibbling the neck, nibbling on the inner thighs, just touching in places that aren't as normal for your routine. And lingering in places a little bit longer, just allowing more physical touch to happen as the physical touch is happening. Mm-hmm. And also it allows you to explore new ways of pleasure. And in that you can explore new ways of touch, like using floggers or vibrators or feathers. I should have started with feathers because mm-hmm. floggers are a deep one.
Right.
But exploring different ways of physical touch when you're having sex.
Right. I will say that you've dramatically changed my level of attunement with touch. I wasn't a non-toucher, but I think the only areas I cared about was your neck with a good choke. I liked a good hip, like waist grab during sex. Ass, of course, on the front or the back. thighs, you know, so you could feel my presence on you and get them, you know, where I need. But that was about it, though.
Yeah.
Those big areas, the big zones, but like waist, back, not a little back, but not so much. Like all, like be nice to your neck sometimes too. Or go down the back of your head, you know, all that, all the thigh, inner thigh, all that. I wasn't doing none of that before you. I didn't have the patience for that. And I didn't realize how sensitive those areas were.
Yeah.
Even for me, I needed you to come with some feminine ass shit doing it a little bit where it's like, huh, that's interesting. You know?
I think scratching is what changed it for you.
Yeah, I never was so into scratching. Like I like getting my back scratched really bad to like where it's bleeding.
Okay.
Remember the other day?
Yeah.
So I do like that.
But I mean like lighter
that,
ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's only intense, but like the gliding of your nails, and we just had so much time for you to go everywhere with your nails. It got me connected to my more sensual side. Yeah. So me knowing how I like how that felt, it was much easier for me to do it to you because I knew it from experience.
Yeah.
But it was challenging though to be playing down there and not touch your pussy. It's hard. So you really taught me how to relax, go around. Because remember, I was still like,
yeah,
you know, I was a little aggressive.
Yeah, I like I'm a everything but kind of girl. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you go directly there, it's like it's nice, but it gets very old very quickly for me. You touch just the surrounding areas a little bit almost, I'll just go insane.
Right.
But it also goes into just like that layering of touch and varying the touch.
Right. So thank you for opening me up to new ways of touch.
I have more ways, so I'm worried.
Look forward to it.
So the next one is quality time. With quality time, you really want to break down the sections of sex and take time there, like really draw it out. So you have foreplay. You want to give a lot of attention there. You want to make that person feel good. Take time to warm their body up so they can take whatever you got to give. Then you have the sex, whereas I feel like people are constantly rushing through sex to get to the climax, where it's all about the journey. Enjoy it, lick each other, taste each other, bite, do whatever you got to do, but take real time there to get the energy going. And then the climax, you want to take as much time there as possible when you're orgasming, and really even training your body or teaching your body how to be in that space longer. And then aftercare, that's so important. And I think that's where a lot of the bonding goes in. Like the interviews we were doing the other day, a lot of people, one of the questions was, what is your favorite part of sex? Or what is your favorite, like, when do you feel most connected during sex?
Right.
That was the question. And a lot of people were saying after sex, like the aftercare. It's like that bonding after you've went through this whole experience with one another and really giving that quality time into that space.
Absolutely. Fellas, look at the camera right now. Look at me. Okay? I have two words for you. Foreplay and aftercare. It's 2023. If your foreplay game is not up to par, what are you doing with your life? If you don't even know what aftercare is, what are you doing with your life? I am about to change your world if you haven't. For those who have, congratulations, because it took me quite a while. But if you're not addressing this foreplay thing, what are we even doing? What are we doing?
How
you
can't?
We're wasting time. We're not 17-year-olds anymore.
We're not.
Okay.
No.
17, you can just jump. Yeah. All right. You're little jackrabbits. Okay. But once you know a little anatomy about the woman and the woman's experience and respecting the woman's experience, it's so crazy. I feel like I'm on a fucking soapbox now because I know my shit. But not too long ago, let me fool you. Not too long ago, I was not respecting the foreplay game and really understanding how important it is. And first, I opened up to doing foreplay more because I was a 5 to 15 minute foreplayer. But realizing foreplay could be 45 to an hour or several hours throughout the course of the day. And like, wait, 7 hours of foreplay? But yeah, it's all the flirting. It's the rubbing of the feet while you're watching the shows. It's the random looks.
Yeah.
It's the changing your tone. It's the telling you I want to do nasty things to you later. You know, it's all of that. And how once I started really taking my time with you, it's so, so good. The yeah. floodgates just open. You would have thought Moses was having a threesome with us.
Oh my God.
No, it'd be like, yo, okay, welcome. And it's so much better. It's so much better. So much better. And I am grateful for that. But first, I ain't gonna lie, I was just doing it for you. I was just doing it for you.
I can feel that too.
All right, just gonna get your pussy wet. All right, just gonna make you feel good. Okay, I got all the foreplay.
You were not interested.
I was not. I had my little timer in my head. I'm like, all right, I usually do 15. Let me do 25.
It takes 20 to 40 minutes to warm up a woman's body.
Yeah. So I was doing it like that. It was better, but I wasn't enjoying it. So therefore, you're not gonna fully enjoy it because you're not fully enjoying me fully enjoying it.
Yeah, it felt like a task. It felt like my pleasure was a task.
Right.
But not just with you, just with men, because they suck.
I definitely come from that.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
It's okay. You got better. You got great now.
Because I had to embrace it, though. Yeah. It was like, all right, this foreplay thing got to happen. This foreplay thing makes you feel good. I want my woman to feel good.
Yeah.
So I like foreplay. All right. What can we do for foreplay? And then I started thinking about all the things I have at my disposal to make foreplay enjoyable. And as the moments are going by, I'm not necessarily rushing to get to penetration, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited as the moments are unfolding that we're not all the way at penetration. But that mind shift makes it so much better.
Yeah.
It's so much better. So yes, learn. Just we'll do another episode because this foreplay is this whole other thing.
It's a whole
But other fellas, thing. Get your Googles going. If you're not doing foreplay, you are fucking up. Just period. You're fucking up. And then on the other side, aftercare.
Yeah.
I didn't learn about aftercare until I got into BDSM and understanding that a submissive after an intense or just really after any kind of thorough scene, after going through such an experience with someone, you can't just leave them to be alone and going about their day. Like, nah, there's a follow-up. You want to debrief. You want to check in mentally to see how you feel about what just happened, to let them know how you feel about them and what just happened, to let them know that you love them, that you care about them, that you enjoyed what just happened. Get some water.
Yeah.
Get some water. Get some snacks. Feel good. Get a blanket. Turn the air on. Turn the heat on. Like, whatever it is going to make you feel good. Turn some music on.
Eat some chocolate. You know,
eat some chocolate. Rub their feet. Rub their head. Whatever it is. Everyone's aftercare is different. It's whatever it makes you feel good after going through an experience with somebody.
Yeah.
And I feel like as men, we want to be the leaders. That's also part of it. You can't just get your nut off, hop out the bed, I holler at you, I'm about to go chill with the boys or whatever. Like, nah. Dedicate that next hour. Give your woman the hour after.
And it's so necessary. I didn't know about the term aftercare until you. But the most bonding happens there because it's just the hormones that we're, you know, producing and feeling and experiencing during that time is the most bonding.
Right.
And it's also, I think, I don't know. I feel like it's almost the most fun. Like, where, and also where you see like how much somebody cares about you. Like, once everybody got their rocks off.
That's real. You found out how you really feel about somebody. If you can have them in your arms or be in their arms, how do you feel with them?
Yeah.
Word. That post-nut clarity also. Word. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
That really tell you about your relationship. If you can stay there, laid up in that bed, and things feel good, and you want to stay there.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, I feel like when I used to maybe get up quicker or hop on my phone, I feel a disconnect. But you let me know you need some cuddles. Absolute cuddles. So we do cuddles all the time.
Yeah. And I don't even need long.
Just need a few cuddles.
Just a few cuddles.
Because if not, you feel like a cheap whore.
Yeah. I feel like a cheap whore.
Unless that's what we're doing for the night, then maybe.
Then that's different.
That's different.
That's a different thing.
See? But you got to know your partner.
And no, time, place, and partner.
Exactly. It's time and place for everything.
And the next one is acts of service. So taking turns to fully give and fully receive. And my favorite way to do this is body worship. So with body worship, it's like...
Call it what it is. No PG-13 shit over here. Call it what it is. I never even heard of it. What the fuck is that? Body worship. When we start doing body worship.
It's a neutral, so I can say both at one time.
That ain't what I want to hear right now.
Pussy worship.
No, that ain't what I hear right now.
That's what it's called.
Yes, cock worship.
And pussy worship.
I know, but you've been cock worshiping.
Okay.
You know I want. Let me get a little. Yeah. Give me that. Give me the cock worship.
Cock worship.
Yes. Cock worship. We'll start from there.
Never heard you say cock so much. Anyway, yes, cock worship or pussy worship, because yes, both need to happen. It's really about, it sounds so aggressive because you're kind of saying like the word pussy or cock or whatever. But it's not just that. It's worshiping your partner's full body and paying attention to them. So it can be massaging them, licking them, just teasing them. It could be whatever it is to just give service to that person's body with also not expecting anything in return. So it's just like, I'm going to serve you for this next hour or two, and or maybe for the night. You don't have to do anything to me unless you want to. If that's a way of you feeling served, you serving me as well, cool. But this is all about you. Right. And I feel like that is such a pure and such a real act of service that I'm willing to, that me get, I get off on just serving you and just really paying attention to loving and catering to your pleasure.
Yeah. Probably never told you, but I probably even still now, we haven't done it in a little while, but I have trouble receiving the cock worship.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, I love it. It's great. I enjoy it. And I feel worshipped. And it's hitting the spot. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But, like, fully just allowing you to serve and not thinking about, like, well, what I'm going to do to give back to you after this.
Yeah.
Or anything other than just fully enjoying it and not even thinking about what you're doing. I'm still a little work to do to just fully let go.
And a lot of people feel that way because we're human. So it's always like you give to get. And with this type of act of service, there's no give to get. There's just getting. And being okay with that. But also it's like you're giving later. And it doesn't have to be that night. It could be at a later date. Mm-hmm. We can set a time like, okay, like on the 3rd, we'll do a pussy worship for you, or I'll do a cock worship for you on the 16th, like whatever it is. But like it's really setting that time aside to show that. But a lot of people feel that way of just like, this is uncomfortable to just receive. Yeah. And it feels selfish. And we're taught not that being selfish is a negative thing. And it really isn't.
No. Let's do some worship. Let's do some worship this week.
Let's do some worship this week.
Cock and pussy worship. Yeah. Let's do that. But also, even massage, like mutual massage goes a long way. That's an amazing act of service, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, whatever.
Yeah. Both therapeutic and erotic. Yeah. They're so needed. And it's like our bodies take so much wear and tear from just living life. And your partner is the one that's right there with you. So use them.
Yeah.
Use them to help you and help them as well.
Yeah. But specific ways I enjoy acts of service from you. My number one favorite thing is when we have somebody else over and you're my extended hands. So you're going to grab tools for me and toys to play with them with. And you bring them over, you're my little helper. I thoroughly enjoy that.
It's my favorite way of serving in that way.
Especially like when you're not involved in the scene, like you're specifically helping to get my shit.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Why?
It's just full service. Like you're fully committing to the scene. Mm. It's not about you receiving pleasure. It's like, you're so excited to help me facilitate this pleasure for somebody else. Like we are serving somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah.
Together. Yeah. So I really enjoy how you just go into that.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of threesomes. It's like the pleasure and the receiving is amazing, of course, but that giving and just like creating a fantasy to come true for somebody else is just so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your serve on.
Get your servitude on. And the next one is words of affirmation. So the simplest way you can do this is just some erotic dirty talk.
Dirty talk.
Yeah. You're doing great, you little whore. Yeah. Thanks, daddy.
Your pussy's so wet. Oh, it feels so fucking good. Simple shit. Whatever. I think people be, because I even sometimes, even some now, I get in my head about what I'm saying, when I'm trying to say a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to turn her on right now. What's what I'm about to say? Yeah, I'm about to lay this dick down on you. Like, that kind of shit, when you try to go there, it's like, it's corny. When you just really connect and be present with the moment, like, how am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
What do I want to communicate right now?
And it could just be like, this feels good, or you feel so good.
Yeah. Or even just letting out a moan. Don't even say actual words. Oh, that moan, a good moan.
A moan will do a good thing.
Yeah. But apps is necessary. You know, it's a time and place. Sometimes I like silence. I love to just hear our breath, or just hear like nothing and like the stillness, or just the music in the background. Mm-hmm. I like being present with that. But you know, we likes to talk.
Yeah, we're loud. We likes to talk. I like when you tell me to shut up.
Yeah.
Because one, it's hot being told what to do, but also it allows me to just really be present. And I think just as women, we are taught to just kind of perform. And it took me a long time to figure out, okay, what actually feels good and when am I just performing? And it wasn't like a purposeful, like, okay, I have to put on this performance and okay, cue moan here. But it was more so like, you moan because men like that. And it took me a long time to turn that off.
Yeah, I don't want to hear no moans. I'm pulling them out.
It took me, honestly, probably like a year to just like fully, because it's like I committed to, for myself, just I'm not going to just fake moan. But then there's also, and I fully committed to that. So I was doing that way before you, but there's also still like this echo of, this does feel good, so exacerbate that moan. So like teaching myself to like, okay, like don't exaggerate the moan, just moan in a way that feels good for your body. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing that, it really just enhanced my experience, because it's like, this is just like this primal feeling that I'm having, and now I'm expressing it, and right, you can receive it. And it just feels more real, because even in those moments, you will do it too, and it doesn't feel performative. It feels right, like we are just both in this exact moment of pleasure, and we understand and we get to communicate in that way.
Right. And I don't want to hear a moan at a 10 if the moan is really at a 6. I need to know that it's at a 6, because if I want to get you at a 10, I'm going to do some things to get that moan up. But I need to get that feedback in an authentic moan in order to be able to do that. So I think by trying to be performative in the things that we say and in the moans, it blocks the real connection, because you're lying right now. You're not telling the truth.
You are lying.
So you're not able to communicate.
And then there's a lot of people out here thinking they're doing right, a great job.
I am putting it down because they're hearing these bullshit ass moans and you fucking it up for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, ladies, I would really urge you to ask yourself, like, in the moment, am I moaning here because it feels good? Or are you moaning here because you think it would make your partner feel good? And then, guys, ask your ladies, like, are your moans real? And be okay with whatever their answer is, and work towards making sure that they are. And also paying attention. I feel like you can know if I'm just like, just cuz, versus like it's coming deep. Usually they're deeper and not as sexy.
Yeah, because before you would hit some moans where it's like, God damn, like you're into this. God damn, for real? Like you were just, and I didn't know. And I feel like you still do that. You're a moaner. Be moaning.
I am a moaner.
Absolutely. But I definitely feel like you're connecting more to a real place.
Yeah. Sure. And it didn't take me long to figure that out with you, because I didn't want to be inauthentic with you. So I don't want you to think we were just out here for 2 years.
Nah, like, nah,
it definitely was not that happening. But also when it comes to words of affirmation, it can be affirmative talk. Like, you're so beautiful. I love how you feel. I love feeling connected to you. It doesn't have to be this aggressive, you dirty little whore talk.
I love both.
I love both too.
And following it up.
Yeah.
With that.
But like, you're so perfect in my arms, or like, you fit so perfectly inside me. Those words of affirmation are just as important and just as beautiful and just as sexy as well. And also, another way of affirmation is that feedback. We were talking about that aftercare. Giving that feedback afterwards, just saying, you know, that felt so amazing when you were deep inside of me while playing with my butt at the same time. And I would love for you to do that again. Just like affirming, like, what you did was good, but also feedback for how we can make the experience the same or better the next time.
Right.
And the last one is gifts. So gifts in the bedroom could be you bring a new toy into the bedroom that you want to play with, or you want to surprise them with, or you want to explore with. It could be gifting some lingerie or wearing some lingerie for your partner. Or maybe it doesn't have to be new. It could be something that your partner really loves and you haven't worn it in a while. Just like give that gift of surprise, and just that, like, we're going to add this to our sex regimen tonight and see how we feel and see how we like it.
Yeah. I like buying you outfits.
I like you buying me outfits.
I like buying you outfits. Definitely. I'm just going to get this because this is what I want you in, but I know you're going to like it. Here you go.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't see that as a gift.
So what do you see that as?
No, I mean, like, I don't see it as a gift for me.
It's a gift for me?
Yeah, but not, but in a really positive way, because it feels like I love that you taking over that. I want to see you in this, so you're going to be in this. Mm-hmm. And for me, it makes me feel like an act of service. I'm doing an act of service for you by wearing this for you.
A gift for me, act of service for you.
Yeah.
So when would you
but
feel
I
like...
But I benefit from it because I look cute.
But when would you feel like you received a gift? When have you felt you received a gift sexually in some kind of way?
Toys. More so toys than the lingerie.
Buying new vibrator or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or when I say I wanted this toy and you get it. But specifically that. That's how I view gifts for me. It's rarely a surprise.
What I would view as a gift is sexual experiences. Surprise sexual experiences. Those are gifts.
Yeah, that is a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. More of those.
Yeah. Or that outfit you surprised me in.
What outfit?
I didn't want to blast you. You wore only an apron and cooked me a dinner.
Right. Ass cheeks all out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What have you done to me? Sounds crazy.
You love me.
I do love you. You got me doing some wild shit.
Yeah.
But yes, y'all, this has been a lovely conversation. New little spin to the five love languages. We hope you got something out of this. And we hope that the five love languages can help you in your lives. Definitely find out what your love languages are for yourself, so you can communicate that to your partners, so you can let them know how you like to be loved, so you can know how to love your partners, and so we all can just love each other better. And fuck each other better, because love languages can go to the bedroom too. So with that being said, this is another episode of Both Sides of the Bed. We want to thank y'all, as always. If you've made it this far, thank you. For those who make it past the hour mark, we want to celebrate y'all. Y'all the real ones. Thank you very much. And if you're listening to this right now on any podcast platform, please pause it right now. I have to ask and beg y'all, because you don't do it. Please pause this right now. Go to Apple. Go to wherever you listen, wherever you can review. Please leave us a review. We are really ready to grow this thing this year. But we need y'all. We need y'all reviews. We need y'all to continue to share. We need you to continue to put people on. This thing is growing by the minute. We love y'all. So please continue to link in with us, plug in with us. Instagram, YouTube, Both Sides of the Bed. Everything Both Sides of the Bed. Mm-hmm. Coaching is cooking.
Coaching is cooking. If you want to take your intimacy journey to the next level, you can schedule a coaching call with me at b-intimate.com. The link will be in the episode description, and it's also in all of our bios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're doing couples coaching.
Yeah, we are.
I'm excited. I want to get on with you.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Yeah. That's new.
So yeah, any couples or any singles that would love to talk to both of us, holler at us.
Get both the masculine and feminine perspective of your relationship.
Absolutely. So until next time, stay tuned for the sexy.
Stay tuned for the sexy.